You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Well, we are back for Hour 2 of Real Presence Live here on the RPR Network. Brandon Clark, one of your hosts, joining you today. And
Steve Splonskowski.
If you missed any of the first hour, I want to encourage you to check out the podcast later today. We had a really good conversation with Bishop Donald DeGroote about the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress coming up in Bemidji, May 17th through 18th, and of course the kickoff of the Marian route of the Eucharistic pilgrimage starts the next day, May 19th. So lots to be involved with if you can make it up to the Bemidji area. The Marian route kicks off at Itasca State Park, which is the headwaters of the Mississippi. And then our previous conversation we just had was with Monsignor Joseph Gehring, and we talked about silent retreats, specifically a silent retreat coming up at Maryvale. You can find more details about that one at maryvalend.org, maryvalend.org. It's a three-day men's silent retreat, June 20th through the 22nd. So pray about it and see if the Lord is calling you. All right, up next, it is time for our monthly gospel roundtable. We're joined by, I was told I can no longer call you our good friend, Brad Gray.
Because so, who is good but the Father?
That's well put. Well,
so we're going to call you our medium friend, Brad Gray.
I can take that.
Thank medium you. Well.
Mediocre seemed a little harsh.
Well, so. Probably true, closer to the truth, though.
So. He is gray.
That is.
It is.
The fact.
It is. All black and white lines have been blurred now.
Amen to that. That's the way I like it.
All right. So I'm going to read the gospel for today, which comes from John. And I know it's also the optional memorial of St. Joseph the Worker. So Steve wanted me to read that gospel as well. So I'll read through both of those, and then we can just kind of share our reflections as the Lord leads us. So, Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes, so it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And the gospel from the memorial of St. Joseph the Worker, which we celebrate today, comes from Matthew. Jesus came to his native place and taught the people in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get such wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are not his sisters all with us? Where did this man get all this?" They took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and in his own house." And he did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, we normally start out with Brad, but Brad has passed the baton this morning. Mm-hmm. And so, Steve, let's start out with your reflections.
Okay. So, you know, this, I love the two gospel readings, and when I was praying with my children this morning, they read the one, and in discussion, I wanted to go through the other one. So, Brandon, thank you for reading them both. I'm really struck by the theme of the two gospels about how all we have has been given to us. Mm-hmm. And so, with this theme of St. Joseph the Worker, I mean, as we alluded to earlier with Bishop DeGroote, we have nothing that he said. There's nothing in Scripture, no quotes from St. Joseph. It's just his life that speaks so loudly, that we have this message. Really, I want to say this message of how he was, and I'm going to use three S's here, but steward, shepherd, and servant. And when you think about leadership, it never comes down to us going out and creating anything. as leaders of our family, leaders in the workplace, leaders in the world, we never create anything. We receive, and then we respond. Everything we have. So that word, a steward, right? We're given something, some property, or you know, some gifts, or even our family. We're given these gifts to respond and to steward them well. And then we shepherd them. We take all that we've been given, all that have been given to our care, and we shepherd them towards the Lord. And then we put at service, being a servant, ourselves, all that we have, we put at that at service of this work, of this good work the Lord is doing in our lives. And so St. Joseph's is such a perfect model of these three gifts. And then you look at when Jesus couldn't perform works in his own country. Why? Because they were unwilling to receive. They were unwilling to receive, and because of their lack of faith, which faith is a gift that we receive, right? It's an infused gift from the Lord. It's nothing to say, okay, I'm just going to be faithful now. I'm going to have faith. No, that's an infused gift from the Lord that we can respond with, and if we don't respond to that gift, we can't receive. We've all been given the gift of faith, but that gift of faith actually can grow through our response. Mm-hmm. So why was the Lord not able to do works in the miracles in that area? Because they were unwilling to receive. They had been given the gift of faith. They wouldn't respond. And Joseph is such a perfect model. So myself, this whole theme this morning about how so many of us are, we find our identity in our activity and in our worth in what we can accomplish. That's not where it's at. We've received all that we have. All that I have has been received. All I need to do is respond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. For me, I think it goes back to, we were talking about with Bishop de Grude about Mary and Joseph and their plight to Egypt, or plight from Egypt. Mm-hmm. And whatever happened, he said, drew them closer. And they used it to grow closer in love of God. And so as you were talking about all that we have has been given to us, I just think about a time in my life just last fall where I lost my job. And it was like, I felt like I had no purpose, that I was like, I have no job. How am I going to provide for my family? And who am I as a man? I really, like, it's sad to admit, but I really had to go back and search for my true identity. And so I come upon this gospel and hear about you talking about all we have has been given to us. And I reflect on the past 6 months since losing my job and what the Lord has opened up. And it's like he was saying, I had to take that from you so that you could receive what I want to give you and really where I want you to be. Not that the work I was doing was bad work by any means, but he had a much greater plan in store, and that continues to unfold. And so in the gospel, I just really hone in on bearing fruit and how the Lord takes away every branch that does not bear fruit. And every branch that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. And so it's really just a hearkening back to how do we get that? And it goes back to our previous conversation with Monsignor Guérin, being in the presence of the Lord and letting him fill us each day and lead us. Because we can do really great things. The Lord has given us many gifts. But think of how much greater the things that we do can be if we allow him to fill us and we remain close to him, so that we are bearing fruit through him and everything that we do directs back to him. And let me tell you, there are some very tough pruning points that I've gone through in my life. But it's what's amazing about it, and when I think about pruning, right, we think about the vineyard and we look at the vine. When pruning takes place, there's a lot of cutting back that happens on a grapevine, to the point where you're like, holy cow, how is that thing even going to grow from this point forward? But what happens is it continues to grow, and it produces even more fruit instead of putting so much attention into just growing the vine itself. And I think that's really the recollection that I have, or the call that I have from the Lord this morning is like, allow me to continue to prune you back. And yes, it's going to hurt a little bit. And yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, right? We talked about the discomfort. But just imagine what you can do, not just even in work, right? Not just the work that I do, but in the man that I can be, the father I can be, the husband I can be, if I allow the Lord to just be able to do that work in me. So that's, I think, one of the biggest thing that sticks out to me. And yeah, there's a lot of challenges that remain in mm-hmm. allowing the Lord to do that work. And I have to continue to be humbled day in and day out. But more and more I see as I just humbly accept what it is he has for me and humbly accept that I don't have the answers and all of my ideas are even from him. you know, my life has changed so much as a result. Mm. So, Brad, we've accurately left you about 90 seconds.
So you don't ramble into the break.
So you don't ramble.
That is always a danger. Absolutely.
So what do you say?
I love what you guys are saying. I love that aspect, too, about that you just talked about with the pruning. Pardon me, because we actually, my wife and I had a vineyard that we had started many years ago. And I got to tell you that it is one of those things that you just kind of almost die inside as you're pruning this thing because it's like, it doesn't seem right, right? There's, Jesus talks about how he prunes the branches that don't bear fruit, but he also prunes the ones that do bear fruit so that they can bear more fruit. And you're like, gosh, it seems like such a gamble. Why would I take this off? There's something happening here. And God, as a wise, you know, what would you say? A viticulturist. A viticulturist.
That's a big word.
He knows exactly what is needed here. And it's so difficult to entrust ourselves to him as he prunes those things that seem good. Like you were talking about, you know, with your job that you were doing great work. It was an important mission field that you're in. And it's like, Lord, why do you take this away? Why is that being pruned off of me? And he's saying, but because I have more that I want to do in you. I want to bring forth more. So I know that we're coming to the break here. So I'll kind of share some more of my reflections on the other side of this break.
Yeah, we'll let you start first after the break.
Sweet.
All right, so stay with us. We're going to head to a quick break, but we're going to continue with our reflection on the daily gospels, the gospel from today involving Jesus as the true vine, and then the gospel of the memorial of St. Joseph Worker. Real Presence Live will continue right after this.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo Di Filippis of St. Luke Productions.
The deep desire of the Magi. Why did the Magi set off from afar to go to Bethlehem? The answer has to do with the mystery of the star which they saw in the east and which they recognized as the star of the King of the Jews, that is to say, the sign of the birth of the Messiah. So their journey was inspired by a powerful hope toward the kingship of God himself. The Magi set out because of a deep desire which prompted them to leave everything and begin a journey. This is the mystery of God's call, the mystery of vocation. It is part of the life of every Christian. When the Magi came to Bethlehem, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Here at last was the long-awaited moment, their encounter with Jesus. Going into the house. This house, in some sense, represents the church. In order to find the Savior, one has to enter the house, which is the church. They fell down and worshipped him and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here is the culmination of the whole journey. Encounter becomes adoration. It blossoms into an act of faith and love, which acknowledges in Jesus, born of Mary, the Son of God made man. The secret of holiness is friendship with Christ and faithful obedience to his will.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Hey, thanks for staying with us as we continue our discussion on the Daily Gospel with our friend Brad Gray. Notice I didn't say good there. I had to stop myself. But Brandon Clark, one of your hosts, also joined by
Steve Splunskowski.
And we're talking about the gospel, two gospels really of the day. The first being Jesus talking about how he is the true vine, the Father is the vine grower, and how those who do not remain in him cannot bear much fruit. And then the gospel from the memorial of St. Joseph the Worker is Jesus comes back to his home, and the people are like, isn't this the carpenter's son? How can he speak such wisdom? And really just showing the rejection of Jesus in his own homeland. So, Brad, we only gave you about, a minute and a half? Yeah. And I know you have much more to say, so let's pick up with you.
That was cunning on your part, I will say. As I was going through this passage, I was struck by this realization that Jesus kind of keeps coming back to this point of remain, or another translation says abide. You know, abide in me or remain in me. He says it seven times in these eight verses. You know, it's just hitting the point over and over and over again. And I was thinking about, okay, what does he mean by remain or abide in me? And, you know, I think probably the most foundational levels of what Jesus is talking about directly are, you know, he's talking about how you've been pruned because of the word I spoke to you, right? And that he talks about, you know, keeping my commands and so on. So I think there's a foundational element of remaining in the truth that he has come to reveal, remaining in his teaching in orthodoxy, holding to the content of the faith that Jesus is establishing and passing on and is going to, you know, perpetuate through his church. So I think that's absolutely foundational. I think another element of that is remaining or abiding in me in my grace. Like, because that's what the sacraments do. The sacraments bring us into Jesus. You know, he is the vine. We are the branches. We're grafted into him. And so that it is the life of the vine that flows into us as branches and gives us life, makes us fruitful. And so I think that element of remaining in my grace, staying close to the sacramental life of the church, you know, regular practice of confession, going to Mass, and, you know, perhaps even daily Mass if it's possible, tapping into the sacraments of our baptism, of our confirmation, of our marriages, you know, I think that's all key to what Jesus is talking about. Like, we can't do it. Without me, you can do nothing. Without the life of God living in me, you can do nothing. As I was going through it, though, it was kind of like I was struck by a kind of a third layer, I suppose, which I don't think is as foundational, but I think it's absolutely an essential application of what he's saying, which is to remain in an awareness of his presence, to remain in, you know, in his presence. And so I think of, you know, the fact that I think most of us, you know, who are striving to follow the Lord, we have our, or at least we attempt to have our prayer life, our regular prayer routine, and we're going to Mass regularly on Sundays and that sort of thing. And then so much of our lives, we live unaware that Jesus is there, right? I mean, you're driving to work and you hit another red light when you're running late and you're like, golly, come on, what's going on here? And we forget that Jesus is right here with me and that, you know, God, that the Lord God wants me to be aware that he's there governing every second of my life, every second of my existence, and that it's all oriented toward my blessing, toward bearing fruit. You know, and so that it can give us a new disposition of approaching life, of experiencing life. And so as I was thinking about that, like this abiding in Jesus and the fruits that would come out of that, you know, the first one that kind of came to mind was peace. You know, that we have, knowing that we are there, consistently guided and governed and watched over, protected by the one who created the universe, who calls all things into being and holds them all and fashions them, can bring us profound peace and joy. And even this passage here is situated in the midst of these Last Supper discourses. You know, so this is John 15. The chapter prior to this, Jesus starts it off with saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Like, that's the first thing he says in the Last Supper discourse. And it's like, that's a command. That's not just a consoling phrase. That's a command. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, how can I possibly do that? You can do that insofar as you're aware that I'm here. Like, that's what makes it possible, is that abiding in him. And then he, you know, later on he promises to send the Spirit in 14, John 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then he goes on to say, peace I will give you, or peace I leave you, peace I will give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. And I mean, he keeps coming back to like, this is the disposition of a Christian. This is the disposition of one who does abide in Jesus. And I think if we're honest, all of us should be challenged by that. Because that's not our regular kind of go-to mode of experiencing life. I think we do experience that at times. We experience like God really entered into this situation that I normally would have been really anxious or troubled or whatever. It's like, wow, that's power. That's not from me. That's a peace that doesn't come from me. And a peace and a joy. You know, I think there's a joy that comes on too, because like right after this passage, Jesus says in John 15:11, I've told you this that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Mm. Like that's what we hunger for, is to have this peace and this joy. There are a couple other dispositions, but I don't want to. So the other two things I was thinking about was just like this courage or confidence that kind of flows from the sense of abiding in Jesus, and also kind of this a sort of tenacity, right. Like an unwillingness to quit, because like Jesus is right here. Like what could possibly stop me? You know, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Yeah, so I was just kind of struck by those things.
Well, and I think, you know, when you talk about being aware of the presence of the Lord, this kind of goes back to the theme that you were talking about, Steve, and we actually talked about this last time we were on the road to Emmaus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great, and the theme this morning has been kind of being in the presence of the Lord by going on pilgrimage, Eucharistic pilgrimage, or being on retreat with the Lord. And as you mentioned this too, Brad, just earlier this week too, the gospel was Jesus said, peace be with you. Mm-hmm. And every time he comes back, one of my kids pointed this out. He said, isn't that like in the after his resurrection, every time Jesus walks in the room, he says, peace be with you. Mm-hmm. Peace be with you. Be not afraid. And so that's really, as you were saying that, as you were talking about, there's three things that you said, the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Be in the presence of the Lord. What does the presence of the Lord bring? It brings peace. And that in that peace, we can make good decisions. We can discern the Lord's will well. And I know this is when I'm working with the Lord and you do a work, after you look back, you're like, you receive this amazing amount of joy by seeing what he did. And you're like, wow, good job, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, huh? Oh, wow, that's amazing. He did all that.
Yeah.
How did that happen? There's great joy in just being in the presence of the Lord. He gives us that peace so we can do this work in peace, and there's joy from seeing the work that he does.
So. Yeah, I will say that this is a practice that I've been really trying to be intentional about. I've been reading through this book very, very slowly during my holy hours called Personal Prayer, A Guide to Receiving the Father's Love by Father Boniface Hicks. And he was talking about kind of the first step of prayer is listening to God. But he goes on to say that listening to God doesn't mean just sitting there and listening for God to say something, like what's on his mind, what's his heart. But there's certainly an element of that. But he says the beginning of listening to God is he talks about five things that I start off every prayer time with now. First is being aware of his presence, and then his attentiveness to me. Like he's actually there. Like I imagine him looking me in the eyes as I'm coming to prayer. Or when I'm driving now, I imagine Jesus sitting right there in my passenger seat. And so I'm trying to consciously call that to mind. And then the third was like his tender listening, like to my sharing, like how he wants to hear what I have to say. And then fourth was this posture of mercy. Yeah, because not everything I say is pious and holy. Not everything I say is you know worth being said in some ways, right? But then the fifth was his acceptance. Like in the midst of it all, like he receives me without judgment or condemnation, like with delight and joy. And so I think like this has been really starting to transform my own experience in my prayer life and just my day-to-day life of trying to be there with Jesus on a moment-by-moment basis. I still have a very long ways to go, but it's been really kind of cool to actually begin to take steps in that direction.
The other thing that I wanted to touch on from the gospel for the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker was the line, is he not the carpenter's mm-hmm. son? And I can just look back at my own life and see a lot of different scenarios that could have played out had I not chosen to pursue the Lord. And believe me, it's a journey, and I've got a long way to go in continuing that journey. But you know, when he was confronted by these people who he grew up with, right, who these were his hometown people, and they said, where does this man get this wisdom and mighty deeds? Is he not the carpenter's son? And I think it really speaks to the profound impact that the Lord can have on our life, that it can truly be transformational, that when you go back to where you're from and people knew how you were, because for some reason history has a way of following us, it really can catch people off guard in seeing the good work and seeing the fruit that the Lord has been doing, Steve.
Yeah, I think it's a great, and I love your analogy there, Brad, because it made me think of right away kind of this Ignatian model of at the evening going back through your day.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, I'm about 40 minutes from town. Mm. So when I drive into town, there's this time to sit there. I never listen to anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit there and I'm like, okay, Lord, where were you yesterday in this? How did you know that opportunity to sit with the Lord and just have him walk through the day? And I'm talking to the Lord, but he kind of shows me, right, that his relationship with me through. I was like, oh, Lord, you were there? You got to be kidding me. I didn't see that until this moment.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm going to look for you. And so I think that's when we were talking about being in silence with the Lord and how that seems so weird. That's one way to take that prayer time, a silent prayer with the Lord, and just saying, okay, Lord, where are you? Where were you in this? And show me where you're going to be there next time. So,
yeah. 15 seconds, Brad.
15 seconds. I guess just an invitation for all of us to really be intentional about abiding in the Lord, whatever that might mean. You know, he might be calling us closer to the sacraments. He might be calling us to challenge our thinking about things, church teachings that we find difficult. Or maybe he's just calling us to experience him right alongside us at each moment of the day.
Absolutely. As always, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you guys.
Our good friend, Brad.
Aww.
Thanks, guys.
We're not group hugging, though. All right. Stay with us after the break on Real Presence Live. We're going to be talking to a couple of gentlemen who recently attended the Synod of the Diocese of Fargo. We'll get their take on these 3 days and how they feel about things moving forward as we enter into the implementation phase.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back on Real Presence Live.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.
Are all sins forgivable, even suicide? I'm Father Chris Alar. Jesus said that there's only one unforgivable sin, the sin against the Holy Spirit. Basically, that means dying without repenting. But how can someone who dies suddenly, such as by suicide, have a chance to repent of any sins? Jesus tells St. Faustina that he comes to the soul at death and gives them 3 opportunities to repent. Regarding suicide, Catechism 2283 says, "By ways known to him alone, God offers them the opportunity for repentance." In essence, the only unforgivable sin is not accepting the mercy of God. So to learn how to help your loved ones do just that, please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
For centuries, healthcare has been central to the healing ministry of the Church. Today's technologies offer exciting possibilities, but also serious moral questions. More than ever, we need healthcare leaders who serve with integrity and conviction. The University of Mary answers the call to prepare leaders anchored in moral courage in a breathtaking range of programs from bioethics to nursing. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.